Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Margaret?
Well, you're reaching down. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're reaching down and grabbing the crotch of your pants.
Grabbing a crotch? The pants I'm wearing are feeling a little tight.
Gotta get one of the fit.
These fit, man. These fit. They almost fit.
Those are the 34-inch pants. Obviously, they don't, because you've been reaching down and pulling on your...
Yeah, you're pulling on a family project. And
all right, watch it. I happen to be a very proud and happy man that these are pants I never thought I'd get into again as long as I lived. And when I began this diet back in March, and I pulled these 34-inch jeans off the shelf, and I remember thinking, who bought these, you know?
You did, thinking you were going to get into them when you were 300 pounds. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your big three... Well, I shouldn't say, you know, but Phil, your 300-pound rear end being squeezed into those... Who did you think you were kidding?
Wait a second. I don't even remember... Why would I buy 34-inch jeans? Okay?
Wishful thinking that you can squeeze your butt in there.
A lot of guys will do that. You know, Mr. Henry, a lot of guys will say, hey, I'm going to get a 34-inch jean. Well, you 300 pounds. Oh, well, I can squeeze my ass in there and wear my shirt out.
Yeah, they do that. They put on the big guayaberas.
Oh, a guy who's 300 pounds putting on a pair of jeans with a 34-inch waist, you wouldn't be able to zip them up.
Yeah, you don't have to zip them up on account of the guayabera.
Guayabera. You mean a guayabera? In other words, a big-ass shirt that's hanging out.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not that nuts. I'm not that weird. No. Thank you very much. No, I wear pants that fit, and these pants fit. Okay?
Well, they may fit. Are they fitting around the waist?
Yes, they fit around the... I'll get up and I'll show them to my video audience, as a matter of fact. Make sure my fly isn't down. These are my 34-inch jeans. I look like I'm kind of squeezing into them. Okay. You know.
Yeah, it looks like, though, you're squeezing it.
Yeah, are you sure? But I noticed your voice is getting higher.
Well, that's...
What do you mean my voice is getting higher? All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, we are going to get into a couple of stories here. And what are you talking about? What, Margaret?
Well, you can get Art Griego on the phone because he has that constrictor that he was working on.
The constrictor that he was working on?
Yeah, Art Griego had a nut.
Don't say it.
I get him. Oh, I know what you're saying. The constrictor? Are you trying to tell me that stupid-ass device that he was working on works?
No, he did it. It works. It works for African-American men that want to sound white when they are booking a hotel room.
It works for African-American men? And what is the purpose of that?
So they were able to get a hotel room. A lot of times, hotels, you hear a black voice is sold out.
In this day and age?
Yeah, a little bit sometimes still happens this day and age.
Are you going to demonstrate it, Robert?
Yeah, I can demonstrate it. Or I can do it. He's not black, but...
Get him on the phone. That's the dumbest thing. That's the weirdest thing. Are you putting me on?
Well, it was something that was needed perhaps a few more. I don't know if it's still needed, Robert.
Yeah, occasionally you find a hotel that doesn't want to book a hotel to you because you sound black.
So they'll say what?
We're sold out.
And how do you know they're lying?
Because then you have a white friend of yours call back and say, yeah, I'd like to get a room. Oh, yeah, sure, we got a room.
You're kidding.
No.
What are the names of the hotels?
Don't say it.
I would rather not because...
Well, come on, man.
Well, I mean, it happened to me one time at Hilton in Miami. And it happened another time at a Hyatt. This is down south.
Down south?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to, unless we can verify this, although I don't doubt that this kind of discrimination goes on. I don't know whether, I don't like the idea of naming names.
Well, you just said go ahead and say it when I said don't say it, so.
Yeah, you did. You said it and she said don't say it.
All right, okay, fine. I'm sorry, we'll double check that. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not telling the truth, Robert, but I'm sure you understand.
Well, I mean, not really, because I'm not lying. It happened to me.
All right. Well, an NYPD officer's...
So you're just going to blow by it?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's blowing by it. You're nervous, aren't you?
Hey, wait a second, man. I mean, I'm not saying that Robert is wrong, but what if he... I'm not saying that this doesn't happen, but what if you got the name of the hotel wrong for whatever reason? Okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm sure it happens. Believe me when I tell you. But whether or not he got the hotel names right, I don't know, you know.
Well, I think I did.
Oh, well, think I did ain't good enough. NYPD officer's generosity goes viral on Facebook. That's a beautiful story there. And this story that I was mentioning, which is the story of Halle Berry and Gabriel Aubrey, and they reach a truce over his violent Thanksgiving tussle with the actress's fiancé, Olivier Martinez. Now, I mentioned to you this story last hour. Halle Berry and Gabriel Aubrey have reached a truce over the violent Turkey Day tussle at the Oscar winner's mansion. The parties have reached an amicable agreement. There will be no further statements regarding the matter, Berry lawyer Blair Burke told the Daily News. Did I ever tell you that I didn't have dinner. I was at a dinner with Blair Burke.
I think you said something about that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very interesting dinner. And it was a dinner with a lot of Hollywood conservatives. And the only one that was a liberal there was Blair Burke. And everybody else at the table was in show business. They were either management people. There were some actors there. And some managers there, and then there was this, other smattering of people. But Ms. Burke was there, and she was the lone liberal. And I'll never forget, because she's one hell of a lawyer. She's the one that handled the what's the guy?
What?
Who's the guy that ran his ass down PCH?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, she handled the Mel Gibson thing. So anyway... This is around 2000, I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was around 2007. It's about a full year and a half before the presidential election of 2008. And everybody is sitting there talking about how jacked up the Democrats are and how jacked up the liberals are, this, that, this, that. And finally, Ms. Burke, she says, well, and they finally kind of get around to her and they zero in on her because she's the one liberal at the table. And she says, well, I like this guy Obama. And boy, did she take, everybody was giving her crap. What do you mean, Obama? This guy is nowhere.
Oh, my boy, she made them look like a stable of ass.
A full stable, a stable of ass.
What's that?
You don't know that you stable ass.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
You filthy.
Hey, come on.
Ass as in donkey.
All right, go ahead.
So in any event, I bet you she made them look stupid. No, you go ahead. You're the one with the story.
Yeah, you're the one with the story, Mr. Henry.
Oh, sorry. So she said, that's guy Obama. I like this guy Obama. And everybody was, ha, 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 ha. Who the hell is Obama? And I was one of them. I said, who the hell is Obama? Who, you know, I didn't say that to her, but I mean, I remember remarking at one point, this guy Obama is an unknown factor. I don't think he's going to win because he's black and because he's very, very young. I thought those two things right there would absolutely, totally just nail him to the ground, man. There's no way this cat was going to win, you know? And I forgot that we live in America, that all kinds of things are possible. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a great story. But she had called that, and later on, after obviously this dinner and the year and a half passes, she was right, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people were right about Obama.
Maybe. Maybe a lot of people were right. Maybe a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon late. Maybe a lot of people were wrong and then got right. Who knows? Let's face it, man. Even in his own party, as the days and the weeks and the months progressed, nobody believed in Obama in the Democratic Party. They didn't think he was going to win over there. He had all kinds of people who were tugging on him and trying to slow him down. But so now I see this name coming up again, this Blair Burke. She's a hell of a lawyer. I'll tell you, you can do worse. Or you can't do worse than her, I don't think. You can't do better. What am I trying to say?
You can do worse. God, you just butchered her reputation.
I didn't even mean to. You can do much worse than, that's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, the parties have reached an amicable agreement. She said the ceasefire statement was joined by Aubrey's criminal lawyer, Sean Hawley. Both sides were in Los Angeles courtroom Thursday to discuss the settlement with the family court judge.
Get to the good part.
I'll get to the good part, okay?
Well, Phil, I mean, you're getting...
What is it with you?
Yeah, you drink all this other stuff nobody care about.
Yeah, get together, pal. What was the fight about?
Well, easy, man. Okay. I mean, it's not clear if authorities will pursue a criminal case against Aubrey. He was taken into custody Thanksgiving morning on suspicion of misdemeanor battery after a fight with Barry's fiancée, Olivier Martinez. For those of you who are watching, there's Gabriel Aubrey. That's what he looked like after getting into a fight with this guy here on the left. Now, this guy on the left may look pretty bad today, too, but you'll notice there's no photograph of him. And why? Because this is the guy that got booked into, he was arrested and booked into custody. He was taken into custody on suspicion of misdemeanor battery after this fight with Mr. Olivier Martinez. Now, let me just get to the rest of this. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back. Do you have Art Griego on the phone?
Yeah, I got Mr. Griego. He's going to talk about the constrictor and everything like that.
You want me to use this thing now?
Well, you can't use it. He's on the phone, but...
He said he demonstrated on...
He demonstrated on what?
On someone.
No. He can demonstrate it on himself. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego ahead with the so-called constrictor, which we got into a discussion of this because my jeans, according to Margaret, are too tight. What, are you getting all, like, turned on?
Oh, don't flat. Oh, you are disgusting.
Prove it. All right, anyway, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You are vile beyond any word that... Yes, I am turned on. God, you will stop grabbing at your...
Never mind. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Art Griego is with us from the Santa Monica Airport this evening, and I think you guys are doing some maintenance out there. That's what it sounds like. Art, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very well. You're right, we are. We're just replacing some hydraulics here on one of the aircraft that we've got here, which is my Piper, and other than that, it's a quiet evening here.
And tell me, because we wanted you on the show, Margaret was giving me a hard time here about the pants I'm wearing. You know, I've lost a lot of weight. I have on a pair of 34-inch jeans. Probably ought to be wearing 36. But the point is, these jeans fit me fine.
I listened to a little bit of that, Margaret. Can I talk to Margaret?
Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes, sir.
Are you saying he's reaching down and freeing up his, I don't know what word you want to use.
Call it the family jewels.
No. His, I don't know, package, I guess.
Oh, please.
Well, all right, look. Are you saying that he's having to reach down and free it up, or is he just giving it air?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm saying, all right, never mind.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, you're a guy and you're asking me that?
Yeah, no kidding. You don't even know.
Will you shut up, bud, before I clock you and you look like this Gabriel Aubrey guy? All right, what is the constrictor?
The constrictor is something that I developed. I talked to Robert about this. It is a device that you put around your genitals if you're an African American. I did good sales with this among black men in the early 2000s. We don't sell as many now because the problem is not as prevalent.
I'm talking about booking a hotel room.
Booking a hotel room. Tell me how this, I don't understand.
Well, what you do, if you're an African-American man, you buy the constrictor, the Art Griego constrictor, you affix it to that part of your body. If you want to sound Anglo in booking a hotel room so you don't run afoul of anyone that may be prejudiced, you tighten the constrictor, and we have different levels on there, the lowest being African-American, the highest is Northern European. You want to set it to, you want to give it a setting somewhere in the Caucasian range. And
what I don't understand this at all. What are you...
Are you listening to him or not?
You're saying, in other words, that the tighter you squeeze it, the higher your voice that gets up into white guy range.
In essence, yeah. Let me bring on, I'll tell you what I'll do is... This is a gentleman by the name of Cat Sten, right, sir?
That is correct, yep.
And Cat does a radio show in Milwaukee, Phil, on Wang Radio.
Oh, yeah. Are you Blue Cat?
Yes, this is Blue Cat, Phil. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah.
And Blue Cat has put this on. I didn't put it on him.
You have it now on you?
That's correct. I've got this constrictor on. I went and I said, I want to say to my fans, by the way, here in Los Angeles and across the country, the Blue Cat Hour is on Wang Radio, and I'm here with my good friend Art Griego, and I'm here with my good friend Phil Henry, but I'm demonstrating this Art Griego constrictor.
Let me ask you something, Cat. Have you ever had a problem getting into a hotel?
I have not had that problem in many, many years. No, I have not. But you have to understand that I've got a fair amount of celebrity. People know who I am. Especially in Milwaukee and upper Midwest, places like that.
I understand that. So, but in making any hotel reservation?
I've not had that problem. I do not make these reservations myself. I generally have an employment secretary or someone like that. But I understand what the gentleman's talking about. I think you have to be black. You have to be a black man to understand that there are times when, back in the old days, and when I say old days, I mean as recently as 10, 15 years ago, you call up, try to get yourself a hotel room, and you're going to hear someone say, well, sorry, it was sold out, just like a young man Robert was saying. And next thing you know, you have one of your white employees or a white friend of yours called up, and the next thing you know, you've got a hotel room.
Yeah. And so, Phil, that's why I developed the constrictor. Now, you've got that on right now.
I have it on right now, yeah.
Now, dial it up to, and if you, as you're dialing it up, Kat, dial it up and keep talking.
I understand.
So that Phil can hear the...
this is Blue Cat, and I'm talking right now, and that's about...
Okay, stop it right there.
Okay.
And just, like, order a hotel room as if you're...
All right, hi, this is Blue Cat, and I want to order a hotel room. The reservation's available.
Are you kidding me?
No, I swear, Phil, this is exactly how I sound as you tighten your testicles.
So, in other words, the tighter this thing around the guy's testicles, the more of a white guy he sounds.
That's basically it, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and tighten it up a little bit more.
Okay, I'm tightening it up to, this is level two, and this, sound Asian, and...
Okay, all right, I don't know whether you guys are joking.
No, we're not joking about anything.
No, they're not. I saw this thing demonstrated one time on me. And they tied it all the way up. I sounded Asian. I started sounding Chinese. And finally got a very highest level, the very, very highest level, and you start to sound Polynesian, you know.
Polynesian. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
Margaret, it takes you out of the very, the lower decibel of voices are African-American. You get high in the mid-range. You're talking white guy. Then you get up the highest. Go ahead
Every day I can. Now, this is not what I would call Indian. And it hurts. I mean,
all right, I'll loosen it up. It's hurting
it. It really hurts. Ow.
Here, just use your screw here.
Don't put your hand in my...
Don't be sticking your hand down there.
I'm not sticking my handy. Just loosen that screw there.
And, ow. Okay.
I'm back. I'm sorry, Ed, there was something wrong. You either have to put some WD-40 on that, not the, you got to put some 3-in-1 on that.
Yeah, I do. I got to oil the one. There's one screw that is actually what you use, Phil, in terms of the metrics.
Let me just ask you something. Because what I heard him do is he went from having his normal voice to a white guy voice, which is what you use, Cat, to reserve hotels?
No, I didn't say I would. I mean, again, you asked for the demonstration.
Phil, the thing it is, Phil, is we don't really have high demand for this anymore. We used to, but we really don't have a high demand for it anymore. You just don't find the problems. Some men, but a lot of them are not aware of the constrictor.
I think if you still have a problem, if you're a black man in America and you're still having a problem reserving a hotel, getting a hotel reservation, I would highly recommend a constrictor because you tighten that up, and you heard what I sounded like. I sounded like just as white, man, I tell you. And
what's the point of the whole Asian thing?
I don't know, but at least you don't sound black. You may run into this similar problem.
Yeah, what, they don't want to have a Chinese guy. Dang, you tightened it up too much.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're using a constriction and you tighten it up and now you sound like you're from China, you blew it, man. Like they said in Copland, you blew it. You blew it. You know?
Well, I would never
You're not going to tighten it up that much. What's up with that anyway?
It's just that that's what happens. I mean, if you ever want to sound like, if you want to get in free to a luau, you tighten it all the way up and you sound like you're from Maui.
And, all right, you mean Polynesian?
Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, like you're one of, like you're on the council, the tribal council for to keep the volcano. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
All right, hold on. World famous Phil Hendry show will be right back.
Try it one more time, are you? I'd like to get a room for two for Wednesday at the Holiday Inn.
Phil Hendry.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. I don't care. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we enjoy having you join us over at our website, philhendryshow.com, with a backstage pass. With a BSP, among other things, you get to watch our video cast every night, which we have for you right now. As a matter of fact, we stream our show live on video. We also have a podcast of each day's show delivered to your pod, to your whatever pod you're, you know, podding in, man.
Whatever pod, like, whatever seed pod.
Yeah, the seed pod, like Invasion of the Snatcher, you know.
It's not Invasion of the Snatcher. Would you please tell them?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yes.
That's not my understanding, but...
That's great, but quit trying to sound so smart when you're not. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I heard it was Invasion of a Snatcher.
Yeah.
Invasion of a Snatcher. Every time you guys get something wrong, you leave a word off, you leave a participle off.
What's a participle?
Like an the, something like that. All right, now.
Participle?
Yes, participle. Join us at philhendryshow.com. You get the backstage pass, get over 4,500 hours of great audio, great radio shows. We have our daily video cast image. We have our archives of our video cast. We have a number of other different bits under miscellany, including television pilots, television shows we've been on, interviews that we've had. And now, newly arrived to the Phil Hendry Show website, something that you're going to love, Hendroids, man. If you go to our Funhouse, we have a Funhouse. It's under the Classic Phil tab. Go down to Funhouse, and you'll see Hendroids, which is a takeoff on asteroids instead of blowing up asteroids.
Yeah, it's pretty bitching. I was playing it earlier.
Yeah, you're blowing up my head. And what happens, Robert, when the spaceship collides with my head?
Then a guy yells out, "Ah, my ass."
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's what happens. It's a lot of fun. It's hysterically funny. It's Hendroids there on our website, and also there's a clip of you.
Yes, and I don't appreciate it. Was me singing Downtown, and it was for the Ted Bell restaurant, but instead of me, they had you in a beard and a wig. I think that's so inflammatory. So inflammatory.
Margaret, would you get a sense of humor?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, a sense of humor. So in other words, I'm supposed to be happy seeing myself with a beard.
Could be worse. You'd have a penis.
You dirty...
Hey!
How dare...
Watch it.
Apologize.
I'm sorry.
All right, Margaret.
I didn't touch him.
All right, you guys are kind of skitterish. All right, welcome back here on the radio show. Now,
You tell people what you said.
I'm going to tell them, man. Don't worry about it. I was going to talk about this bull crap having to do... There's a bunch of stuff. All I said was, because I said it last night, Jack in the Box is just, Jack in the Box is pushing it way, way too much with me, man. They're pushing it way, way too much with me.
In what way?
With that Jack. With the commercials, is what I'm trying to say. The commercials with that caricature of Jack, with the round head and the pointed nose, it's just, I don't know.
Then you realize those are probably very successful.
They're probably very successful. I got to imagine that they are successful because you would not stick with the same ad campaign over and over and over and over again. It's like I won't mention because I believe they're sponsors of ours.
Well, you know, Jack in the Box may be a sponsor.
I doubt it. And if they are a sponsor, they probably already know this. But anytime you overuse, I mean, to the ends of the earth, an advertising... Now, I can understand if you don't have a lot of money and you've only had enough money for one advertising campaign, so you really want to get it, you know, you want to milk the hell out of it. But that freaking Jack with that Philly cheesesteak commercial, that was the end for me, man.
Well, I'm a Philly cheesesteak.
He goes to his cousins in Philadelphia, and there's two of them that are the same version of him. They got the round head and the... Oh, man. He's just too... I understand the whole too-cool-for-the-room persona in advertising. I get it. Okay.
Well, if you take a caricature and you give them a suave and sophisticated personality...
No. I understand. I understand about taking a caricature, taking a puppet, taking a dog, taking a hand puppet, and giving them the characteristics and the features of a really sophisticated human with a smart-ass... personality and sense of humor. I understand that. Not that it ain't been done before. In fact, it's probably now overdone, but it's like the caveman ads. It's like all of that stuff. Now comes the Jack in the Box, and not now, that guy has, they've been doing that ad for God, how long?
I don't know.
You know, you ought to look that up, Robert.
No, find out about how long they have a Jack.
Well, not the Jack in the Box, because I'm old enough to remember, and this is probably, I know it dates me, but nonetheless, you can just consider me your own personal time machine. Because I remember when Jack in the Box was built here in California, I was in high school, and I remember it was a real big deal that they were a drive-thru. And if I'm not mistaken, they were the first national chain to have a drive-thru.
No, I don't think so. What about In-N-Out Burger?
In-N-Out's not a national chain.
Yeah, it is. They got them.
No, they're not.
In-N-Out not a national chain?
No, it's not a national chain. It's a Western. They got a couple in Arizona. They got one or two, I think, in Nevada.
Well, I don't think you really know because you were nervous. You were going, di-di-di-di.
Is that what I was doing, bud? How about I show you just how cool, calm, and collected I am by picking you up with one hand?
No, thank you.
And throwing you out of here?
No, thank you.
Yeah. So anyway... Yeah, so Jack in the Box, they built these restaurants, and they had a drive-thru, and the real novelty was the fact that you pulled up to a clown, or not a clown.
Well, it was a Jack in the Box.
No, it had a clown head, though.
It had a clown head. What is a Jack in the Box, you know what I mean?
Uh-uh.
A Jack in the Box for a little kid?
Oh, yeah, the kind you crank up and come up through a hole in a box.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a Jack in the Box.
Right, I know, but when it comes up, what do you think it... looks like.
Comes up from what? What are you talking about? Are you talking about it being sick?
Being sick?
You said when it comes up, it's like it was kneeling at a toilet?
No, it was. I'm talking about the Jack in the Box.
Oh, all right.
I cannot. When a Jack in the Box pops out of a box, what does it look like?
A Jack in the Box. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what are you...
Does it look like a clown? Does anybody here in the studio, on this panel, as people have been calling this...
Well, Phil, I use the term panel show.
Great. Do any one of you people have any idea when a jack-in-the-box comes out of the box, doesn't it look like a clown?
It looked like a jack-in-the-box to me. It may look like a clown on any given day. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
When you say it looks like a clown, there are... And I'm not trying to be difficult, Phil, but we can say on any given day you look like a clown.
Yeah, or I look like a clown.
Well, what's the matter with you?
What's the matter with me is either you're really stupid...
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Margaret, I am. I'm talking to you and to you and to you. Either you people are really stupid, or you're not listening to me. A jack-in-the-box has got the collar and the big nose and...
All right, Pinocchio, that's what you're going for, huh?
No, I'm not going for Pinocchio. I'm going for... All right, drop it. Never mind.
I think you should quit while you're ahead, yeah. What Pinocchio brings to mind a kid wearing an Italian Alps hat. I don't understand that.
No, it's not Pinocchio. In any event, the jack-in-the-box drive-up box, the thing that you ordered from and the thing you talked into, was actually the head of a jack-in-the-box...
Clown!
Yes, the one that doesn't look like a clown because you didn't know what I was talking about.
Well, now I do.
Now you do. All right, here is something sent to me by my close personal friend, Dan Northcraft, who also is our engineer. Fast Food Maven, Jack Box, A Brief History, An Iconic Fast Food Character. Jack is a former clown who used to take customer orders from his position atop the company's drive-thru speaker box. Thank you!
Well, what do you mean a clown? If it's a jack-in-the-box, it's a jack-in-the-box. If it's a clown, it's a clown. I know what a clown is, Phil. I've been married to one for...
Oh, you've been married to one?
Yes, I have, for a number of years.
He was blown up in a 1980 television commercial that marked the fast food chain's strategy to cater to adult tastes. I remember when they blew up the Jack. Since you can't keep a good clown down, in 1995, Jack was brought back not as a speaker box guardian, but in his current role, the Jack in the Box, the Jack in the Box states on its website, Jack is the fictional founder, CEO, and ad spokesman for Jack in the Box. 1995, man, that's 17 years, this jackass.
You should name it Jackass in a Box.
No.
Yeah, that's the call we think, Phil. We're going to do a restaurant.
No, Jackass in a Box doesn't work.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, do a restaurant as a computer. You know, you go to Jack in a Box, we go to Jackass in a Box.
I think that's pretty funny, man. What do you think, Phil?
I think it sucks. What do you think I just said?
Yeah, Jackass in a Box.
Great. So are you going to stand there and say, Jackass in the Box, what kind of food are you going to have?
Yeah, black hamburger and stuff.
Well, how are you going to make it better?
Don't you understand? It's called Jack in the Box and it's a Jackass Box?
Yeah, I get it, man. So what? After I get over the novelty of it being called Jackass in the Box, then what?
No, it's called Jackass Box.
Yeah, you call it Jackass Box.
Jackass Box.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of food?
Hamburger, and here, I'll do it, Robert.
What about,
no, let me do it. Hamburger, like chicken tender, and the ones, probably a lot of food that me and Robert like.
Yeah, I like a hamburger, fried, chicken tender,
like the ultimate cheeseburger.
You can't do that. That belongs to Jack in the Box.
What does?
Ultimate cheeseburger.
Well,
yeah, see, you got to think up the menu, man. Having the name of a restaurant don't mean diddly squat. You can have a great name, and the name you got blows every ground squirrel from here to Maine, okay?
Why?
Jack, what did you call it?
We call it Jackass Box.
Yeah, Jackass Box.
I don't know what's wrong with that. That's
I'm keeping out of this. Both of you need MRIs. You both need CAT scans. You really do.
What? You think I got a tumor in the brain on account of Jackass Box? I don't think so. It's probably one of the best ideas I've had.
If it's such a great idea, then why don't you have a menu worked up so that when I go to Jackass Box, I guarantee I'll go, okay? You guys, will you invite me?
Yeah, but I mean, I can't give you no freebie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. I'll pay for it. Wow.
What?
You can't even give me a freebie when your Jackass Box opens up. Well, whatever.
That sounds kind of sexual, Mr. Henry.
What does?
When you said my Jackass Box opens up, what are you trying to say?
Will you get out of here? Now I'm not going to the opening of Jackass Box. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have more news to come. Wow. More crazy ass news to come here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, including the internet is down in Syria. I don't know if that bothers you or not. It sure as hell doesn't bother me, but imagine that. What a bummer. No internet in Syria and no takeoffs or landings from the international airport. They are in a world of hurt over there, Jack. If you'll pardon the use of the term Jack. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So just concluding this here.
Right there.
Yeah, I know. This is the Jack in the Box. Just so you know, my opinion of that ad campaign being beat into the ground and beyond recognition, no one else agrees with me.
I didn't think so. Look at this. They've won an award at Cannes. Now, do you know what that represents, Phil?
I know what the Cannes Film Festival is.
This is a Let me see. This is the Cannes International Advertising Festival for the best fast food advertising in the world.
Margaret.
The world. So you can get your jollies and grab your cookies on your way out the door. That the Jack in the Box commercial.
Grab your cookies.
That, excuse me, that the Jack in the Box commercial is beat into the ground and is no longer what it once was, if you ever thought it was anything, did you?
No, I never did.
Well, boy, now you're doubly wrong, because you can see here with the Cannes International Advertising Festival, it's won Clio's. Do you know what that is?
Yes, the Clio is an advertising award.
All right.
What's that mean?
That's just the name of the advertising award. It's won a Belding, an Effie, and Bronze and Gold Lions. So I think before you... I think there's an old saying, Phil. You have to leap. You look, and then you leap. But you better look first.
Look before you leap.
Look before you leap.
What's that mean?
That's what the saying is. Look before you leap.
All right, fine, if you want to... But you have to, before you jump, you've got to look down and make sure you know where you're jumping to.
Yeah, that's why they say look before you leap.
Well, I don't prefer to call it that.
Okay, well, we can spend a half an hour.
It's not exactly a half hour. You see, well, I got to look down, make sure I'm not jumping on something like on a spike fence.
Yeah, like in The Omen when that guy jumped down and got spiked up the... Well,
like in The Omen when a guy jumped down... Look, all I know is, yes, you're right. I need to know what I'm... I don't care. I still have the same opinion. I don't like the campaign. It's an irritating campaign. It lost its humorous... Let me just say something. Advertising agencies, because they have to... And I don't have any disrespect here, folks. I think you know what I mean. Advertising agencies will tell you this. And I was told this when I was taking a mass media class in high school. In high school, we had to read The Hidden Persuaders, which was, at the time, a groundbreaking book on advertising. And there was a name that was mentioned a lot in my ute, Marshall McLuhan.
Oh, well, Marshall McLuhan's a genius. What do you mean?
I'm not saying anything bad about Marshall McLuhan was the guy who said that soon we will... He is the man who said we will become a global village. He's the man who coined the phrase, the medium is the message.
What's that mean?
I don't want to get into it right now. All I'm trying to say is... That the average intelligence that advertisers aim at, they aim at what they consider to be the average intelligence level of the mass audience, is 12 years old. That's the average. Now, that doesn't say a whole hell of a lot about the advertising business's opinion of people's intelligence, but that's precisely who they aim at. So they make the message a message that a 12-year-old mind could understand, and that generally means... The attention span is short. You've got to put it there in big block letters, and you have to keep repeating it over and over and over and over again. You know, fly Delta. If you look at a billboard...
Well, Phil, you can't put a lot of verbiage on a billboard.
Yeah, we've got to put up on a billboard, hey, fly Delta on account of, you know, and everything and everything and everything.
If you look at billboards, there's a lot of stuff that goes on a billboard. But the fact is, forget about billboards. Let's talk about just television. It's humorous. And if they show you anything in terms of writing on a television commercial, it'll say something simple like that. Fly Delta to Portland or fly Delta to New York. You know, bang, bang, easy, easy. And they repeat it over and over again. Jack in the Box, the same thing. Now, I'm not saying I'm more intelligent than most people.
Well, yes, you are, because you're saying, oh, I'm so sick of this. So why don't we pull it off the air, because the average person bores me.
No, I didn't say that at all. I'm telling you right now that the average person's probably sick of Jack. How do you feel about that, Jack?
Probably piss off Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care if I piss off Jack, okay?
Yeah, he's 6'8". Give me a break.
He's not real, bud.
I know he's not real, but did you see the stats on the guy? He's 6'8".
Yeah, did you see the stats? He's 6'8".
So he's 6'8", so what?
It means that you need to be careful, I think.
In what you're saying.
He's not real. He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist.
I know that, but I'm just saying in case.
In case what? Some cat with a big head and a pointed nose exists?
Well, you look like the Jack Ball if he does.
I'll just tell you this right now, okay? the 12-year-old mind that the advertising agencies and the advertising industry aims at, they say, is going to be able to tolerate Jack. 17 years this guy's been on television. I can't, every time I see this clown, and that's what he is. And you know what? I don't eat at Jack in the Box. I don't eat at Jack in the Box. Every now and again.
Oh, yeah, every now and again. Didn't you say you stopped off there the other night?
What do you mean the other night? I've been on a diet.
Well, when was it?
Probably a year ago I stopped off there for somebody else, thank you very much, not me.
Man, Mr. Adam, you're out of breath.
Sometimes arguing with you guys, I'm telling you, it's too much. 877-876-7445. So online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. That's our website. Get a backstage pass. We're at twitter.com/realphilhenry. And we're also at Facebook. Our fan page is facebook.com/philhenryfans. If you go over there and like our Facebook page, why, it's just a beautiful thing. And we have our Flashback Thursdays, and we have our, what else are we having over there, bud?
Got Flashback Thursday and a quote of the day.
And the quote of the day and the Phil facts, yeah. All right, we'll be right back with our final hours. We try to get into some of this falderall around Syria not having any internet and not having any takeoffs of their international flights, and just essentially the whole thing just sucks. We'll talk about the Lindsay Lohan arrest, which I think we probably should either talk about or shut up about. She did get arrested, and we'll find out what that's all about and other news when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.